So we're going to start here in Philippians chapter 4 once again. This is the last word in the series that we've been looking at for several weeks. So here we are in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin once again at verse 4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So this morning, our final word in this series that we've been looking at is praiseworthy, all right? So in my study, there's all kinds of words. I mean, praise is all over the Bible, from the very beginning to the very end. But when I looked in the back of my Bible, in my little concordance thing, there was only one other place that the idea of praiseworthy, and I'm sure it's in other places, but for whatever reason, there was only one other place that the word itself, praiseworthy, was found according to my little concordance. And it was in Psalm 78. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And we could go to all kinds of different psalms. I mean, there's just all of them have all kinds of different ideas of praise. As a matter of fact, you could just open up your psalm to any one of them. And somewhere, some shape or form, it's going to have the word praise in some way, shape, or form in the psalms. So but Psalm 78 actually has this little word praiseworthy in it. And I would just like you to hear this. It says, "Oh, my people," I'm starting at verse 1. "Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy," there it is, "the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his laws. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan, he divided the sea and led them through. He made the waters stand firm like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with a light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the deserts and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of rocky crags and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, 'God can spread a table in the desert. When he struck the rock, water gushed and streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us food? Can he supply meat for his people?' When the Lord heard them, he was very angry. And his fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel. For they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. And he rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Men ate the bread of angels. And he sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens and led forth the south wind by his powers. He rained meat down on them like dust, flying birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tents, and they ate till they had more than enough. For he had given them what they craved. But before they turned from the food they craved, even while it was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them, and he put to death the sturdiest among them, cutting down the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. I could go on. We could go on all the way through this psalm and look at all these different things, and it's true. It's absolutely amazing. It's incredible. All the things that God did for Israel. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea. We're not even talking about all the miracles he did in Egypt to bring them out. I mean, the plagues and the locusts and the thunder and the lightning and the hail and all these different things. And if that was not enough, he was able to do it in such a way that he distinguished between Egypt and Israel. Literally, the cattle and the sheep of Israel of Egypt was dying on those nights when that hail was falling down. And yet, in the land of Goshen, the Israelites' cattle and their sheep and everything that they had was completely safe. The darkness overwhelmed Egypt, yet the land of Israel still had light. God distinguished between good and evil in such amazing ways. And how could they even begin to forget? Begin to forget. How could they even think of turning away from this living God who has done such incredible and amazing and awesome things? Man, so many times we just plain forget. You know what I'm saying? We literally just plain forget the wonders and the mighty works of God in our lives so many times. But that is what this entire series, hear me clearly, that's what this entire series has been about. What is it all that we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing what? Think about such things. Think about what is true and noble and praiseworthy and excellent. Think about things that are lovely. Think about all these things. And I want to ask you, have you been doing that? Literally, you've been coming Sunday after Sunday. Excuse me. Sunday after Sunday, we've been coming, and Sunday after Sunday, I've been saying, hey, are you thinking about this? Are you thinking about that? Have you been thinking about these things? Have you literally, honestly been thinking about the good things that God has done, the amazing ways he's intervened in your lives, the way that he has touched your hearts, your families, your community, your very being, your very soul? Have you been thinking about what God has done? This week, I tell you what, because I'm the one having to do this every Sunday, Lord is God, he's just been filling my head. He has just been taking my mind on an amazing journey over the last several weeks. And this week, it's just crazy how much, how full, how complete God has been in so many different ways. This week, Nathan and I, we got to road trip together. We rarely get to road trip together, do we? I mean, like maybe once or twice a year we get to take off and go do something. We went and did something really special this week. We went to the tax lady. So we got all of our taxes together, and we got in the car, truck together, and we took off, and we're driving down the road, and we're going to, where were we going? We're going to Rock Island. There you go. We're going to Rock Island, and, you know, we're talking about all kinds of different things as we're going there, and finally we get off the turn on Rock Island, and we start driving downtown Rock Island, and we start literally commenting, yes? We're like, man, I just never come to the Quad Cities. We don't come here to shop or do anything. I'm totally lost. I have no idea where we're going. If it wasn't for the little GPS on our phone, we'd be scratching our heads trying to figure out where in the world we're going. We're going through these zigzags and through these stoplights and through these, well, we weren't going through the stoplights, only when they were green, all right? But we're driving along and all these one-way roads and all this stuff, and we're just like, we have no idea where we're at. And literally, we're like, oh, do you think that's it? And finally, we get to the place where we're going, and we stop, and we do the whole tax thing, well, as much as we could. Anyway, so we're inside, and we're like, we have no idea where we're at. And I said to the lady who was doing it, I said, so where's a good place to eat around here? Okay? Because, you know, you can't go out without going out and getting something to eat. And she's telling us about all these different places, about where we could go to eat and things like that, which is great. And we get out of the car, and we're going to go to this barbecue place because, you know, she's talking about this Thai place. And what was it, lemongrass something or something like that? I don't remember what it was. She told us about that. She told us about this other, I don't know if it was a sushi thing. I don't know. But then she said ribs, and I was like, oh, ribs. You know, we can't pass up ribs. And she goes, yep, it's just literally right around the corner. All you got to do is pull out of the parking lot and go right to this rib place. It's just right one block away, and like, we can do that. Is that what it was, Jim's Rib Haven? I think that's, yeah, there you go. All right. So, literally, there's a point to all this, believe me, all right? We pull out, yeah, I'm getting hungry now too. We pull out of the parking lot. We literally go not even one block. And I'm like, oh, I know that place. It was where Logan had his rehearsal dinner at. I mean, it was literally less than a block away. Where's Tridell's at? Right, there they are. It was right where you guys had the rehearsal day. I was like, oh yeah, I know where I'm at. It's right there. And we never go anywhere. And literally, we drive another 60 yards, and there's Jim's Ribs. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I've eaten here. I've probably eaten in like five places in all of the Quad Cities. I think I've eaten in maybe five or six places total, okay? And here is the same spot that Kurt and Rhonda Keldean took us to. Literally, do you remember this? Like, we had just gotten here. We hadn't been here very long, and Kurt and Rhonda wanted to take us out for dinner and stuff. And so we're like, okay, so we get in the truck with Kurt and Rhonda. We take off driving down the road, and we have no idea where we're going. And pretty soon, they're right weaving around on these same roads that Nathan and I are weaving around on, and it's at night. And, you know, Rhonda's tuck, 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 and we get there, and I will never, in fact, I told Nathan, when we pulled into the parking lot, I said, man, I will never, ever forget this. I was like, you know, if you know where Jim's Ribs place is at or what, it's, anyway, it's city, and I'm country, you know what I'm saying? And so we get out, and I will never forget, so we get out of the vehicle, and we're walking towards the door to go to this place, and it's not a real fancy place, guys. As a matter of fact, it has not changed in 18 years. I mean, it really hasn't. And we're walking towards the door, and I'll never forget Rhonda saying in Rhonda's big voice, you know, if you know Rhonda, you know what I'm talking about. She's like, I know it looks pretty scary around here, but I think we'll be all right, or something like that to that effect. And literally, I was like, I felt pretty good until you said that, you know what I'm saying? Because if you would have said it in the car quietly, I would have been good. But when you said it like that, I was like, oh, man, we're in trouble now. But everything turned out, it turned out just fine. But literally, he wants us to remember. And all week long, God's just been filling my mind with memories of amazing things. As a matter of fact, that's the favorite part of our leadership retreat for me every year that we end up getting to do it, is listening to these 14 guys, 15 guys share the different things that they remember. And there's a very specific reason for that. There's something very important in that, because just like in the psalm that I just read, do you remember what I just got done reading? Do you remember the amazing things that God did? Water coming, gushing out of rocks. Birds flying in from the east and covering the ground, manna every single day, all the amazing things that God has done for them. But you remember what it said over and over again? If I kept reading, it would have said it many more times. It would have said, but they kept on forgetting. Literally, while the meat was still fresh in their mouth, they started grumbling about something else in so many different ways. So it's so important. It's so vitally important that we continue to remember. We remember. We think about such things that God has done that are praiseworthy in our lives. And the next part of that is sharing it, of vocalizing it, and reminding one another. Man, I have a hard time every Sunday morning when I get up to preach and I start looking out among the people that are here, all the different memories that are associated with every single one of you, even you. You've only been here a few times, and as soon as you walked in the door this morning, I remembered. And that was awesome. I'm so glad you're here. This morning, I'm going to do something really scary. I've got a mic. It's right over there. And I'm going to go over and I'm going to turn it on. And I want to hear some of your favorite memories. Some of them are good. Some of them might be hard. But what are the things that you remember that God has done over the last several years? Maybe not just with the church, but literally in your life. The milestones that he set. I got to celebrate a milestone this week with my wife. God gave me an amazing woman 35 years ago. And we got to celebrate 35 years of marriage this week. It was awesome. Well, the day wasn't awesome because I was sicker than a dog and you were crazy as all get out. Well, not crazy as all get out, but you know what I'm saying. We didn't even go out to eat. We didn't do anything. Literally, I think went to bed at like 8 o'clock and we were asleep. You know what I'm saying? This wasn't an exciting day. 35 years, you'd think, wow. I did wake her up. Can I tell you this? I did wake her up on our anniversary morning at like 4:35 o'clock in the morning. And I did it in a very special way. So I said to my wife, I said, do you want a little hint about what I got you for our anniversary? And she's like, okay. So it's dark. We're all snuggled in bed. I pull out my phone. And I've been working on this because you know how good I am with technology. And I hit the button. And it went, and she jumped out of bed literally and went, are we going to the Kentucky Derby? And I said, yes! We are! I'll never forget that. You were so excited. See, you have to know, for every year of our marriage, except for last year, it was the first year that we did not watch Kentucky Derby together. And that was one of the things that I thought, you know what, this would be cool for us to go do. So I'm going to tell you right now, we're horrible parents because I don't want to. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to pull out. By the way, anyone online, this is for you too. So Candy's here or Brent's back there. And if you, I'm looking at the camera now, if you have a memory that you would like to share, if you'd like to just type that in the memory things, and we'll have Brent read it and share it with us. But I want to hear some of the memories that you guys have. I mean, I have tons of them. I have all kinds of amazing things. I can remember that I was literally sitting about where Drew is right now. I remember I was sitting right where Drew is the day that Ron Ekberg announced his resigning. I remember I was sitting right there. The day that he was announcing that he was resigning. And I remember we locked eyes, kind of like Drew and I are like right now. Drew, put your head down and go, oh, gosh. That's exactly what I did. Because we locked eyes and I went, oh, Lord. And I put my head down really fast. The guiding moments, those very instances that you know God is doing something special. What do you remember? What's happened? There's a very, very important reason we're doing this. So who's got what? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. I'm going to cut you down to like 30 seconds or a minute. Anyone have any? I don't know if I want you to share. Okay, all right.
I remember when we were back here in what is used to be the library, the little room here. And it used to be, before it was a library, it was a nursery. And it was our only tiny little nursery. And I remember being in there with Loretta and some of the other ladies, Kieran Hendrickson. And Loretta said, gosh, I wish we could have a preschool here. I wish we could have a daycare. And I said, why can't you? And she said, well, there's all these regulations. I don't think the board would ever go for that. I don't think anything. And so we prayed about it, and here we are. Look what God has done.
Yeah. So. And that room is now the nursery.
It is.
Absolutely, yeah. What else we got? Anyone else? Oh, raise your hand. It's all right. I'm not going to bite you or anything like that. By the way, this is another strange thing that God did this week. So I got a text message from Bob Urien this week. Haven't talked to Bob for I don't know how long. I think it's from Bob. I don't know. It might have been a crank. Maybe it might have been, I don't know. But it said it was from Bob, so I'm going to say it was from Bob. And literally, just getting that text message made my mind start spinning about the Urians and all the crazy things that he and Vicky did in this church. I mean, just the stuff that they did with the youth, how crazy and how active and how open they were with so many kids. You start thinking about Bob, and I start thinking about Bob and Jim and the silly parrot. You know what I'm saying? And the skits that Bob and Jim would, and some of you are looking at me like, you have no idea. There's no way for me to describe it in such a way that you'll actually get it. You had to be here. All right? And I hope someday some of that stuff will come flooding back as well. So what other memories do you got? Come on, we got lots of people. Gary.
I had been away from the church for over 35 years, and I was working in my garage. I missed the bottom step on a stepladder. I flew to Rockford. And the next morning, Pastor Paul came and talked with me. I don't remember what he said, but he prayed for me. The next day, another golfing buddy, Eldon, came. I don't know how long he stayed or what he said, but he prayed for me. I couldn't remember anyone ever praying for me before. But I have missed very, very few Sundays being in church since then. And God has done amazing things in my life, letting me speak for him.
Amen. God is good. Yes.
So Mark and I are from Galena, and my sister in Christ from Galena, her name is Barb, she started listening to you online before we moved, and she said, "This is the church, Carol, for you." And then we came and we met with you.
How cool. You talk about divine appointments. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to come. All right, I'm coming back. Oh, right there.
It's not so much what anybody said, but I just remember when I first started coming here, I went to a lock-in. And this is not just a plug for the lock-in, but it was just one of the funnest times I've had, and I was just so welcomed, and I hadn't really been going to church before then, and now this is my home church, and now my daughter Abby is going to be going to a lock-in. So that's exciting.
You guys remember the lock-ins? You remember the maze upstairs? And we have every night they'd have a race going through the maze, and the kids would go running through the maze and stuff. And then after about the second time, they thought they had it figured out because it was dark and all these walls and stuff. It's like it was a maze. And so while they're off doing, this is so cruel, but it was so much fun. While they're off doing other things, three of us would go in and we'd unscrew the entire maze and redo the maze and put the walls in different spots and the whole nine yards, and then the kids would have the opportunity to have the race again, and they'd take off thinking they knew exactly how the maze was, and they're going, and you'd hear wah, oh, wah, wah. I mean, it was just awesome to hear those. They'd come out rubbing their heads, and oh man, it is, oh my goodness, the crazy things we did. It was awesome. Who, there's someone else back here. I miss the maze room.
I got hundreds, but there's like my one favorite was when Ryan got baptized and he didn't want to wait. So we didn't wait to fill the baptistry. We all went out to the pond.
Hunt. That's all I have to say about that. Yeah. Yep.
Doing the leadership retreat made me think about this, but one year we decided that we weren't going to have a leadership retreat. Instead, we were going to go down to Peoria to a men's event, and a couple of the leaders could go, and it was a lot of fun, but most could not. But I ended up getting to room with Brian Gonnett, and I didn't know him all that well, and I thought, I hope he enjoys this. After talking with him, I thought, this guy's heart is not at all what I thought. This is awesome. And then, next thing I know, he's starting a church. And it was just an awesome time of seeing God at work.
I thought you were going to talk about the gunshots at the... Remember the Promise Keepers? Hey, who else was along? Was Randy, were you with us? Do you remember the gun? We stayed at... What was that guy's name in Peoria? Instead of staying in the hotel, we stayed at his apartment. You went... Who was it? Maybe that was just my own imagination, but I'm sure it was. I think it was a Promise Keeper. It was some type of... It was some type of conference that a bunch of us went to. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. And we stayed in his apartment, and it was scary. And in the middle of the night, there was like, bam, bam, bam. And he was like, oh, don't worry, it happens all the time. And we're like, oh, Who else went along on that? Was anyone here? Steve, weren't you with us? No? Maybe that was just me. I don't know. All right. Anyone, you got some from the internet? Hang on just a second. Okay. Oh, cool.
Hey, Josie's at home today, my daughter. She said, when I was in kindergarten, I remember coming to Cool Kids and doing the dances and just laughing so hard because of how fun they were. Davy Davy was my absolute favorite. Church was so much fun as a kid, and I don't know that many other people would be able to say that about churches. So,
cool. Mark, did you have one?
Well, this isn't anything to do with this specific church body, but it was an experience I had after coming back full-fledged with Christ and being out on the road. I have a lot of stories, too, but the time constraint, so I tried to find a quicker one. I got a message once from one of my Christian brothers out there, and asking for prayer for this young Christian girl, like 18, 19, and she came from a family that was, I think, Indian or some other kind of cultural background, and they were not Christian, and she was in the hospital, and she had some kind of diagnosis it was threatening her physical life, and she was going to need surgery, and she was having faith and prayer about, you know, God to bring her through it, and there was a lot of conflict with her family, and so I got this message to pray for, and I was overwhelmed with a heart for her, and my prayer was what I imagine what tongues are, because I didn't know what I was saying, but my heart was for her, and I was praying out, and then shortly after that I got a message saying, never mind, her diagnosis is clear, she's okay. And so I'm going to share that, God working through that.
God is good. He is big enough to handle anything that we come across. Yes.
There are a lot of stories, but growing up in the church, the youth group leaders from Bob Eggers, and everybody talking, I think, will flood back. Our memories are going to start flooding back. But Bob and Vicki and Ron and Judy as youth group leaders were very huge and impacting my life, and then just growing up as an adult and the acceptance and love from different things that, you know, James and I went through from the women, where I'm just very, very thankful from the women in the church that have been just there.
So. Absolutely.
So just one quick one, speaking of Bob and Vicki, for me, been through a lot of Bible studies and various things, but there was one breakout session that Bob and Vicki led that was made the Bible come alive. It was walking through the Bible study, and they used everybody remembers the model of the temple. And it was just amazing. It was to scale, and I don't know if that thing's still around, but
no, it's gone.
It was an awesome tool to bring the Bible alive.
Amen.
I've had the opportunity to serve on the board a few times, but this particular evening, I think it was a challenge in our faith, in our trust. Before this building was renovated, right behind Eldon, that's where the library used to sit, and that's where we had our board meetings around the round table. Cold, rainy night. And we were sitting there, and this gentleman walked in the door, unkempt. It was rainy. He was wet. And most of the time, you would probably look at this individual with a kind of a sour attitude and say, what are you doing here? Instead, because of our faith, we dug into our pockets, and whatever money we had on us, we give it to him, because he was a loner. He was not from this town, never seen him before. And he was needing help. And we give him cash, have no idea how much. We went to give him a ride to Princeton to a hotel. And before he got out of the door, it's like he disappeared. True story. And anybody who's in that board meeting can attest to that. We don't know where he went. He never showed up in town anywhere else. Never went to other pastors and their churches. Kind of makes you think.
I hope so. Anyone else?
Oh.
Be right back, Brett. David, I thought you were raising your hand there for a second, but it was just a cough. It's all right.
My husband and I are new members of this. Well, not really members. We didn't sign anything. But Bill had met Eldon, you know, while he was working at the Thacker Ranch, and we were searching for a church when we left our home, and we found, Bill found Eldon, and I just, we have a new church family. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Cool. Steve, you want to talk about any wires getting cut or anything like that, or you got anything? All right.
When Elder first came to town, I was cutting trees along the river.
Oh, no. Don't do this.
He was telling me how good of a sawyer he was. So I said, okay, I got a chainsaw. He came down there, and we're cutting trees. I look over, and there's a tree laying across the back of my pickup truck. And then one night, of many of the renovations we had here, me and Keith and you was back there.
Yep.
We was building a nursery at the time, wasn't it?
Yep.
And we had to take a wall down, and so I asked a stupid question like, is the power off? And Keith was like, sure.
Not me.
And he had this brand new pair of wire cutters, and all of a sudden there was a flash that shot across the room. And it's a good thing he didn't die, because I was laughing so hard I couldn't help him anyway. But he ruined his new wire cutters.
Yeah, they welded them together.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the final one would probably be the year that we had the Thanksgiving thing, and I was sick. I mean, I shouldn't even have been here. We was cooking turkey, and to this day, I don't eat turkey anymore. It smells so bad to me now.
Do you have one, Greg? No? All right. Anyone else? Yo, Brett, I forgot about you.
So I can remember sitting here, just graduated high school, and actually sitting right up front, and we had a visitor come in from a different country. His name was Dacian, and he kind of expressed a need for people to go over to Romania to help with these orphan and at-risk children. And I remember sitting there like, you know, that is something I want to do, and I wasn't the only one thinking that. We had an awesome team going, my dad went along with, and that was probably the first time that me and my dad really had a really close connection on a faith-based trip. So that was a good memory for me.
Does anyone remember highlighting over 2,000 Bibles, about 60 verses in 2,000 Bibles? Remember handing them out in the little yellow bags?
That was awesome. Domer, that gentleman's name was Bill. I got his name written in my Bible next to Hebrews, where it tells us not to entertain strangers, by doing so we might be entertained angels. And I really believe that night we did, right? There's so many things that you could talk about something like this. I think each one of us sitting here could think back to numerous things that God has done in all of our lives, personal, family, whatever the case may be. I know one of the comments is made about the women in the church, the men in the church, huge part of what God did in my life. The men in the church, how they accepted me and just loved on me and spent time with me. So that was God.
Anyone else?
I think one of many things that comes to my mind is something that's not as fun and doesn't bring as much laughter, and that is the loss of life.
Amen.
And I have been a part of this church since the Kaiser Building when Ron Eckberg just became pastor, and I have been able to serve at many hundreds and hundreds of funeral dinners that our church has put on. And to see the work that God is doing in loss of life when people are going through the most tragic of circumstances, and to see the outpouring of love that this church gives the families and the community obviously is a part of that too, the community giving food and condolences and love. I think of Cora's funeral, the ministry that took place at Cora's funeral, and that'll be one that'll never be forgotten. I've got many, many funerals in my heart that have been a milestone of faith in my own life, and not fun at all, but a part of life, isn't it? As we rejoice with new life that comes into our church, and a brand new baby, and the baby dedications, so is the loss of life as people go on to eternity. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, it's today. So today you have a choice that you can spend eternity in heaven, and you can be assured of that, or you will have an eternity in hell. There's no gray area here. There's no in between. There's no holding place. It's heaven or hell. So please choose this day. So when it's your turn, or someone in your family's life that we're having a funeral dinner for, let it be said of us that we have done what Psalm 78 says, what the words that Eldon read, that we will tell our children and our children's children what God has done in our lives, and that God is true, because we forget very easily. But let it be said of us that we will tell those stories of faith, and during the good times of new birth and during the tragic times.
So, Eldon, you read one of the Psalms about how God provided so abundantly for his children in the wilderness, particularly how he made water come out of rocks, and he literally gave them food from the sky, more than they could even need. And if you ever wonder if God does miracles like he used to, he does. Andrew and I were in Mexico last year in springtime, and we were coming to the end of a tour of the grounds of Rancho El Camino, and the director of operations points at the ground and he goes, "What do you see there? What's that?" And we look down and we don't really get it at first because we're from the Midwest and we're like, it's a mud puddle. But they live in the desert, and that particular part of the desert had been undergoing a drought for about 2 years, and nobody had water. Nobody. But that ranch had water. Because it's a community of believers who, they're a youth branch, but they do every kind of ministry under the sun, and they take every opportunity to share Jesus with people. And it's so cool. And they had water. They had more water than they needed, actually. They had enough for two wells. One of them they had to pump down on the regular because it was so full. But nowhere else could you find water. And that's just a really great example of how God, even when it defies science, will abundantly bless his people.
Amen. Oh, there you are. Stop that.
Emily Dietz is at home today, but she typed in, "Lots of fun thoughts to fall back on thinking about our church body and the love, support, and accountability shown among friends. But one of my favorites is this past summer. And all of the times that our church has met people where they are, especially with COVID. Having VBS outside, the fruit of the Spirit right on Liberty Square. The joy and the excitement in so many children's faces, especially Naomi, when she is putting a massive sponge over her head to have a shower on a hot VBS night. Or friendships between kids that don't see each other on a regular basis. I mentioned this out loud," this is Emily talking, "and Obi says how thankful he is that Mr. Greg killed the mean wasps under the picnic table with his long stick." So.
I know there are lots of others. I want to stop and say this because part of the board retreat this weekend, the leadership retreat this weekend,
was a silly thing that Alan did. He handed us all these situations, and we had to choose one or the other. Like, what was it? You could either live the same day over three for a whole year, or you could take 3 years off your life at the end, or you could be a, I don't know, mine was a royal 1,000 years ago, be in a royal family 1,000 years ago, or be a regular guy today. And all these, just, it was just weird. But each one of the situations at the end said, who was a teacher or a coach or a person who influenced your life? And listening to each and every one of those guys speak about a gentleman or a woman in some way influenced their life. And it was amazing that it was never anything huge. It was just someone taking time to say a kind word or to encourage them. Something so incredibly simple that God placed it in their hearts and in their minds that they would never forget. And it impacted their life even up to this very day. And I say that because we're going to have the opportunities. We have them right now. But we're going to have the opportunities to literally change kids, adults, marriages, all kinds of lives in the name of Jesus. Those opportunities are going to be laid before us and are laid before us right now. And we have the opportunity to make memories that will last absolutely for eternity in the lives of the people that we meet. And we need to think about such things. Think about what God has done honestly, truthfully, and recognize that He used very significant and insignificant moments that we might point back to and remember how great our God is. Take those opportunities that are laid before you. Seize every single one. We have no idea which moment it might be that God uses to change someone's life for eternity. Amen. God's not done with us yet. In fact, I think He's just getting started. And I cannot wait to see what He's going to do for His glory, for His praise, for His honor, and for the advancement of His kingdom. Amen. Let's stand and tell Him how much we love Him.